This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Happy Friday. No, happy Wednesday. I was going to say gateway to the weekend. How did I get to Friday?
That's all right.
Happy Wednesday.
It was AI. AI told you it was Friday.
Yeah.
Liars.
Stupid artificial intelligence. It's artificial intelligence, but it's intelligence nonetheless.
Yes, it's information. No promise it's real.
I love today. Accurate. I utilized it today.
How so?
In a very simple way.
Directions to work?
Well, I have Google Documents and I have versions. Every day I change them. It's our music that we run in our show. There's bumpers. So I have probably 10 years worth of them in the versions, all different versions. Every day there's a new version. So I thought, ooh, Google has on my documents page, what can Gemini do for you?
Gemini's Google's AI.
Right. Okay. So I'm like, this is cool. So I told Gemini to utilize all the versions and just shuffle songs for me and put them in a certain blah, blah, blah. Like in the...
Like reorganize all these
reorganize,
lists.
Take all these songs from years and years and just randomly shuffle them. So each day I have a fresh new batch of them with me not having to do any... Not that I have to do a lot of work, folks. Some of you go to work and you're like saving lives or you're like, you know, directing traffic or doing construction. My work is, oh, which song do I run at 6:43?
So just to... And I think I know what you did here. You took all the songs.
I asked it to take
all.
And
you basically say like dice in a Yahtzee cup and just shake it up and pour
like
it back
shuffle out.
Out
a playlist, except put them in the times for me and I hand it to my producer. Whoa. Gemini said, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean you can't do this? And it was, I can't work through versions of a document, only what is in the document.
Oh, so it won't search through
it
your
files.
It won't
search through the different versions
I think that's
yet.
A good thing, actually.
Oh, at some point, it will happen. But today, I was smarter than artificial intelligence. I thought you stupid.
We have...
Stupid machine.
We, as a society, have mistakenly taken artificial intelligence and translated it as superior intelligence. Mm-hmm. And it's never... Like, think about that. That's our own fault. They never... Right. We just saw, like, talking robots and thought, this is smarter than us. But they're not.
No.
Not always.
No. So be very careful with it. Every once in a while, I see someone who does what we do, or news reporting, or something, and they utilize it, and they don't check it. And that can be very, very bad for your business. Because you don't want it to be inaccurate. So it is still in its infancy stages.
Oh, yeah.
It is still, as much as it may be able to do for some of you, it is still very much in its infancy. All right. I love, we get a lot to talk about. Look, there's serious issues in the world today, and especially internationally. We had a situation, Israel now trying to attack the negotiators in a peace process, trying to kill them. What did we know? Because that those were mixed messages. We were told ahead of time, or weren't we? The president now says he's not happy. That whole situation, the words being used are betrayal, treacherous, a whole bunch of descriptors about what happened there. Then we've got a situation where Poland is saying that Russia was sending drones over their airspace and allies had to come in to help out. Look, that's that whole area is something we need to obviously keep an eye on. So there's a lot of stuff that's international, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on there. And we get a lot of local stuff. But I do want to mention that there still are people talking about the incident at the Phillies baseball game and the woman who angrily stormed over to the guy who got the ball and demanded the ball back.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So I only mention this because we had a few people text us, and I've seen others argue. They don't want to say that what she did was okay, but some people go, wait a minute, he came over into her section. If she had that ball, should it have been his? Here is the story. The incident raises legal and sports etiquette questions. What do the experts say, folks? Oh my God.
Who are the experts that are etiquette?
So they actually, it's a bunch of different people. Okay. Anyway, look, the boy is fine because he got all this swag and signatures and got to meet it. And I think I heard maybe going to the World Series, whatever it may be.
I heard playing the World Series. They're going to put the kid in. He's a starting pitcher.
But this issue has been litigated in court before. In a 2002 case, a judge determined a person who retains control of the ball after initial contact legally has possession and is entitled to the ball. So there was this guy that they talked to in this article. A retired judge, attorney, professor, and author told Penn Live, possession belonged to the man who picked it up. Absolutely. If that case came before me, I'd rule in his favor. This is a guy who has written two books merging his legal and baseball interests. It's called Baseball and the Law. So anyway, he goes, my legal analysis, short and sweet. The ball belonged to the boy based on three criteria. Did the woman have clear possession? No. Did someone physically take it from her? No. Did she hold the ball for a sufficient amount of time that would indicate it was hers? He said, the video evidence I have seen shows the ball at best may have touched her, but just because it touches you doesn't mean it's your ball. So there we go.
I mean, there's that. We've all seen this before, but I'll come up with a fictional version of this. If a foul ball hits somebody in the forehead, bounces off, and then someone grabs that ball and runs away, and everyone's like, give the ball to the person with the head bump.
What are you talking about?
Here, hear me out. If the ball touches somebody, it doesn't give them the right.
No.
However, etiquette would say if somebody gets injured or touches the ball, you should.
Who the heck is worrying about getting a ball if you're hit with it?
You don't care. Well, hang, I feel like you're blowing this off.
I am blowing it off.
You shouldn't. It's a very valid point. If you're at a baseball game and someone gets hit and then someone grabs the ball, well, the common courtesy would be like, do you want to give them the ball? That's a nice thing to do. We stop being nice. We start fighting over this stuff when it's just there's no reason to fight over this.
Here are the unwritten rules, folks. Baseball fan etiquette. And this is what
this is stupid because we're acting like a bunch of animals. Like, we don't need a friggin' book about this. If you get the ball, you get the ball. And if not, just go, what an ass that person is.
Based on Penn Live's interviews with experts, here are the rules
you should know.
And again, these are unwritten rules that everyone should know. Rule number one, if you catch a ball, give it to a kid. I think that probably works for almost anyone except one that may end up being worth $1 million. You know, if it's a record-breaking ball. But otherwise, if you catch a ball, give it to a kid. There's always a kid. You don't keep the ball. The idea is always give it to a kid. Okay, so there's that. Rule two, if the ball is a player's first home run, give it to the player. Rule number three, you can leave your seat as long as you don't knock people over doing it. So if you're going to get it, just don't run roughshod.
And that rule applies to anywhere with seating. Not just baseball. Right. Getting up to go to the bathroom in a movie theater, don't knock people over.
Don't knock people over. Now, rule number four. People who sit in the outfield are generally trying to catch a ball. So baseball's a sport where people love to catch foul balls and home run balls. People choose their seats based on what they can catch. So
I disagree with that one, but okay. I think sometimes it's just a cheaper
seat.
I think a lot of times, and yeah.
So that's it. Do we all have the rules down, Pat? And remember, one we did not say is that somebody has a camera somewhere at any of these events. If it's not the stadium itself, it's people in the stands. Remember, your behavior and what you're doing is always, always, always able to be caught by someone else on camera. You know, so remember that.
Being a fan becomes business. I didn't see it happen, but the day Barry Bonds tied the home run record, I said to my wife, I'm like, we don't do much. I was stupid. We weren't even real big Giants fans or baseball fans in general. We're like, let's go to see history.
Right.
Every single person, to what you said, every single person had a glove in the outfield. There were boats out in the water outside in San Francisco. People were there because they knew that was a money baseball. But your regular game in the middle of, I guess it's toward the end of the season now.
Right.
It's not important. And people are just,
They're just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody just calm down. Don't be rude. How about that?
Hang on. The points are all valid. Give the ball to a kid. That's a nice thing to do. Except what if you're an adult who's never caught a baseball and you feel like, wow, that was something I've always wanted to do.
Give the ball to the kid.
Okay. And then when you do that, what happens when someone goes, why didn't you give it to my kid? My kid was sitting closer.
You give it to the kid who's closest to you or who looks the most eager.
And who has the less scary looking parent. I'm just not going to go to games anymore. It's too crazy. You never know what's going to happen.
I'm going to run away from the ball the next time because the last thing I want to do is get caught in the middle of something that may end up being, you know, the next viral moment. I'm going to be like, I'm getting out of here. And I don't want to see this.
What else is kind of nutty, too, the whole idea about, and I love what they said. Hey, if it's a player's first home run, whatever, give it to the player. Yes, but should you then get something back for it?
No.
Everyone does now, though. That's the standard.
It's just because we know that people are selfish and will demand something.
Well, sometimes they'll just go, hey, can I get something in exchange? Even if it's nice and they get like a bat or they get something. And the players are usually willing to do that. Mm-hmm. I think if you're nice, a lot of times you'll get nice things.
Sure.
I believe that's the case.
Oh, I think they do it just to preempt any kind of.
What about me?
Now, are you all straight on the rules?
No.
We got all the rules
down. There's no rules because one person will just be cranky about it and be miserable. What about just sitting back and enjoying the game without fighting about things?
Oh, God. There's an investigation into a homicide at the Lackawanna County Prison. At about 12:30 Tuesday, reports are that officers got word of an inmate-on-inmate assault where one of the inmates died. That's according to the Lackawanna County DA. Now, this is, from what we understand, and it sounds like both of these folks in this altercation, and one of them is dead now, were detainees, federal detainees, because there are detainees that come to the prison that aren't from this area, but the county gets money to house them. So from what we understand, that's who was involved in the situation, the federal detainees. We don't know anything about next. They say next of kin not notified, so we don't have an identity yet. An investigation is ongoing, but some inmate-on-inmate assault is being investigated where one of the inmates did die. So pretty violent situation. We hope to get more information on that for you. And when we do, we'll let you know. In Lebanon County, this was quite the story. Police evacuated neighbors. They found a safe with 14 homemade explosive devices. And one of them had the capability, they say, to be detonated remotely. I thought, how do you find this? Well, it turns out a woman went to a Berks County police station regarding a protection from abuse order against this man.
Yeah.
His name is Timothy Schaefer Jr. She said that he had a safe in Lebanon County containing several explosive devices. They do say there's a number of children who live in that home. She even showed police a remote firing system she said was hooked up to the explosives. That's crazy. Troopers were sent to the home. Residents in the area were told to evacuate. And they x-rayed and opened the safe to find 14 of these explosive devices of varying capabilities. One had an advanced wiring system, and they say it looks like it was connected to a remote detonator. That is frightening. Frightening.
Yeah, we never know what these people have.
He admitted to them that he owned the safe, and he has been now charged with weapons of mass destruction, risking catastrophe, recklessly endangering another person. They do say he has multiple PFA violations. Now, it's interesting. They say in the story, as of Tuesday, unclear if he's in custody.
Probably something we want to know.
Yeah. Please tell us. That's nuts. Anyway, that is a real scary situation. You got to wonder people's minds. Why would you have that in your safe? That is scary stuff. Anyway, maybe we'll hear more about this as they continue the investigation. Okay. Tyler, who does our traffic, put up a nice little picture of his pumpkins on his porch. I love this time of the year now. Everyone's starting to decorate for fall. But when you're thinking about decorating for fall, PA homepage, which is 2822 News, they have this story how they're already starting in Peckville. You know, the Christmas house.
Are they decorating early?
It may seem like summer just ended. A family in Peckville's been at it for decades. It's a holiday destination, their home is. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes months of careful planning. So they were talking about how they get it going. They get stuff started early. So
I just drove by there.
I'm not saying that it's all up. They just said they're starting now to put it together.
I just drove by there because I live nearby. That's a big regular destination for my family. It has been for many years now.
Right.
I highly recommend it because it's unlike anything you've ever seen up close. But I was stunned to see the yards. It's two houses with the space in the middle is where they decorate.
Yeah.
They own both sides. And there was nothing.
Yeah.
There was a car trunk open. I thought, I wonder if they're getting ready to start because it's so weird.
Right.
It takes months.
I'm sure. Just to get everything anchored before you even start.
They're pros at it now, but still,
it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Some of you, you know, we complain if you have to go out and just put a few lights up. Imagine doing that.
I have pictures, by the way. If we want to put this up on our Facebook, I have pictures of the place. The pictures are amazing, but when you see it in person, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yesterday, there were some real backups. Not that it happened all day long, but PennDOT is squeezing in a lot of work in Lackawanna, Luzerne, and Susquehanna counties. So 81 north and south between the airport and the expressway in Scranton, the central Scranton Expressway, will have work between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. each day this week. So that's a heads up. If you're heading on Interstate 380 between Goldsboro and the Daleville-Moscow exit, 7 to 4 each day, they're doing bridge deck repairs. We've got Route 6, the Casey Highway, between exit 1 and exit 2, going on from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. 81 northbound and southbound between exit 206, Lenoxville, and exit 223, New Milford, has that going on 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. And then if you're heading on Interstate 80, because why not add every single road into this thing? 80 east from 242 Mifflinville to 256 Nesca, Peck, and Cunningham. We'll have work from 7:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. So,
think you have an alternate route? Good luck. We'll block it.
Yeah, take alternate routes, but they won't block it. It'll just be really busy on the other routes. But have yourself a heads up because people yesterday were like, what's going on? It can happen. And then other times, you'll be like, you said you left after we heard a lot of this going on in the morning. By the time you left early afternoon, you said there really wasn't any issues where it was earlier.
Traffic is consistently bad enough that I've made it a regular step before I get in the car and go to check my Google Maps on my phone. If it takes about 21 minutes to get home, no traffic. But there have been times where I hit it and it's like 48 minutes. Uh-oh.
You know something's up.
How do I sit here?
I took the turnpike to go north and then picked up 81.
If you're somebody who gets stuck and you're like, I wish I knew. Yeah. If you have a smartphone, just open up your maps thing and just know how long it's supposed to take.
Yeah.
It's very easy and it's very consistently right. Mm-hmm. So.
A story was so heartbreaking. The West Scranton barber just driving along, minding his own business, and ends up being killed in a horrible accident. This was March of 2024. Brian Nardella, very well-known barber from West Scranton. Again, this is the scary thing. As a driver, you can do everything right. And somebody else, and in this case, two other men with their trucks and their aggressiveness caused a horrific crash that killed an innocent person. The latest in this story is that John Darko and Paul Viscomo, these two other drivers, they will have prison time for the crash that killed Nardella. They did plead guilty in the road rage incident. And just real sad when you see and hear what his wife had to say in the victim impact statement. Just absolutely heartbreaking. It was road rage, folks, that preceded this. It's so sad because Nardella was trapped in his SUV, unresponsive when first responders got there. It flipped onto its roof in a parking lot off of Kaiser Avenue. He had his seatbelt on. He was driving below the speed limit. So they can tell those things from your vehicle. State police reconstructed the crash, and they said Viscomi's dash camera footage determined Darko was driving at least 61 miles per hour. We're talking about on Kaiser Avenue before the collision. And Viscomi accelerated from 20 miles per hour to at least 53 to stop Darko from merging. Imagine that. You're in a race with someone for what? For your own ego? Nardella attempted to maneuver out of the way, and they say he was driving at 30 miles per hour below the posted speed limit of 34. So he's killed because two people that are driving vehicles can't try to be patient, give each other grace or something. So it looks like Darko will be in jail for 25 to 60 months. Viscomi, 30 to 60 months. And by the way, one of them after the crash told police a different story than what they got from all the surveillance cameras, you know, trying to make themselves look innocent. Yeah, crazy.
Like, longer jail sentence doesn't bring back Brian Nardella. But that seems insanely short
of sentence. For the death of somebody, yes.
Especially considering, like, okay, if it was an accident that was not anger related, but they were angry. There was road rage. So it almost seems like there should be more.
Well, these were the maximum sentences for this the charge. Yeah, it's involuntary manslaughter is what they pled guilty to.
I was going to say, like, over the years, I had never met Brian Nardella, but when he passed, I remember just my Facebook feed just lit up, and I had so many mutual friends, and over the past couple of years, I've met people, and his name comes up from time to time, and it's strange to see, like, I don't know, I feel like if something happened to me, people would say nice things, but there's someone going, like, sometimes it's a pain in the butt.
This was obviously someone who touched so many people.
He did charity work. He was so kind. He was good for the community, and just more and more people come out, and it's, like, such a loss for...
Truly.
And again, did nothing wrong.
I think the important thing in getting a maximum sentence in this case is I don't always think that the punishment is a deterrent, especially when you talk about people who are extremely violent, who are intentionally violent. You know, when people are so vicious and violent, I don't know if a death penalty will stop them. But in a case like this, where there are many average everyday people who I think are good people, who can't control themselves behind the wheel of a car. I think in this case, knowing that your need to be first or go faster or how dare they, that you see what the impact is, first of all, on someone else's life and on their community and on their family, like the heartbreak this brought, not just to his immediate family, but to the community as well, what a loss it was. And then you find, oh, and if I act like this, I could end up in jail for 5 years. In this case, I think you need to send that sentence, that message to people, which is you will pay a steep price if you can't control yourself behind the wheel of a car. I think in this case, they had to get that because it was so unnecessary and it was so reckless.
Yeah.
Imagine going 60 miles per hour on Kaiser Avenue with all that traffic at that time.
I've seen it.
It's crazy.
It's terrifying. You know, if there's something that's come out of this that is fascinating is Loyalty Barbershop continues to run. It's still charity, but they do a ton of charity events. Mm-hmm. So they're keeping that legacy going. But
yeah, it's,
again,
it's so sad. But I hope it is
like
a message. It's a message to folks, to all of us.
Yep.
That patience is more important. Be patient. Understand that sometimes people around you may be dealing with something. If someone's in a rush, and I'm not saying that anybody should be certainly not like that. But if someone is going to pass you, you don't know what they're dealing with, where they're heading to. Just I try to always just think, what is the worst thing that could happen? And let's avoid that. Get out of the way. There's no need to accelerate a situation. But anyway, I think it was necessary to do the maximum sentence. All right, so we know what the punishment is for Eagles' Jalen Carter. He was missed out, obviously, on that game because of the spitting incident. That's it in terms of suspension, but he also has to pay $57,222 for the infraction. And that's pretty much the equivalent of his game check for week one.
How much? 50 what?
$57,222. So he didn't even get to play. This happened like 6 seconds into the game. He is expected to be on the field when the Eagles face the Kansas City Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch on Sunday. That's going to be great. Now, the team could do its own discipline if they'd like to. They could bench him for the first play. I always love when coaches do that. We're going to keep you out for a whole play or even longer. But we'll see
two
if that
plays,
happens.
You bad boy.
The coach says, we're not. You're not going to know. This is between us. I'm glad they didn't do anything more. I know some of you were like, yeah, you should take him out for X amount of time. No, I don't think that was necessary. And it doesn't, just because I'm the biggest Eagles fan doesn't mean that's the reason why I say that. I think the fact that Dak Prescott also spit, he didn't get any in trouble and he didn't spit on him. But still, they should all clean up their act. Good luck with that. I mean, he's had a lot of issues with not being able to control himself. Let's hope this is the last of it. He is not appealing the penalty. So I think he understands that he really screwed up. Do you think this is enough to change someone's behavior? I hope so.
It is interesting, too. I was looking at his salary, and you're right. It's about $57,000. It equals about one paycheck or one game. But the way the NFL stacks their salaries, like he had a $21.8 million rookie contract for a couple of years ago. Then they readjust things for salary cap. He's making a lot more than what it appears.
Right. Well, they said the Eagles have agreed not to void his guarantees based on the suspension, because that could have happened. There are guarantees, like you said, that add up to a whole lot of other money.
But they also shuffle the thing. It's like this accounting thing. It's like they're doing, it's like a white collar crime. It's how it appears to me. Right in front of us to make
right.
things. But either way.
The way they people move money when they make lots of money. You don't think that he should have.
After seeing it all, it just seemed like, oh my God, this could have. This seems like such a weird misunderstanding where two guys are being stupid. One guy, probably, he definitely crossed the line, I guess.
But well, let's hope that he has learned his lesson, because your team, it's more important that you are able to play for your team than, you know, deal with that kind of testosterone nonsense. Like, just stop.
That little bing.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
It's the weakest form of showing off your testosterone, but I guess I'll take it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in and half the time I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Tonight, just want to let you folks know, 6 o'clock, Odyssey's I'm Listening, an annual conversation about mental health, will happen here on WILK. It's hosted by Carson Daly, joined by mental health experts, some of the biggest names in music. They also talk to Governor Josh Shapiro about mental illness as well, and what can be done to help those. You are not alone. Join us this evening for I'm Listening. Also on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps, you can get more information at imlistening.org. 6 o'clock tonight.
One thing I think is really cool about the show is it's a radio company doing something big. We're the biggest, one of the biggest radio companies out there, and we do this show, but it's not done like, hey, a bunch of stars are going to talk to you. Everyone part of this has some connection to it. Carson Daly, I just looked up to make sure I had it right. He's done interviews and talked openly about having generalized anxiety disorder and panic attacks. He has. So he's dealt with this stuff.
Yeah, they're not talking about their music. They're talking about how they've dealt with either depression, anxiety.
And this is
National Suicide Awareness Day. So
there's far too many times you see people going like, hi, I'm here to speak about something really important. But they don't really have that. You can tell when someone has that personal connection. All opinions do matter, but still, it's nice to see these people are comfortable enough in 2025 to step up and go, I'm going to talk about this.
Right. Because the more you talk about it, the less stigma it has. All right. So that's tonight, 6 o'clock here on WILK. Again, you can get more information on imlistening.org. It is 7:10 at WILK. This is a really, really concerning story. And this is one of those things that you go, thank God. Somebody saw something and reported it. It's out of Washington State. Police have arrested a 13-year-old who they say had everything ready to go for a mass shooting. If you just see the picture of the firearms that were taken from his home, it's stunning. They found 23 firearms along with ammunition when they arrested the 13-year-old boy in Washington State. They say he had school shooter ideations. I'd like to know about his parents and their thoughts because they sound completely deluded. And this is where we have to start taking parents in for, you know, what their recklessness could lead to. We'll get more to that in a moment. This is from the Pierce County Sheriff's Office. There's an internet watch group. Can you imagine where people just banding together to try to find threatening posts and let authorities know? So the sheriff's office said after reviewing the suspect's social media post, it was warranted to immediately move forward with an arrest. A SWAT team descended on his home. This is in Parkland, Washington. They got there around 1 a.m. on Saturday. They found the collection of 23 firearms, several boxes of ammunition, loaded magazines with school shooter writings on them, as well as clothing and writings typical to a mass shooting scenario. That's so concerning. What they found revealed what they describe as an obsession with past school shooters. He imitated similar behaviors with photos and inscriptions spread throughout his room. They don't know who or what the intended target was going to be, but they said it's clear it was a matter of time before a tragic incident occurred. Now, I guess he has not been in school since 2021. So he has not been in a classroom. He is detained at a juvenile detention center and facing charges in juvenile court. Outside the courtroom, his parents told KOMO, that's a TV station, the situation is a misunderstanding. His mother suggests his posts were an attempt to be cool among peers. His dad says he had no intention to harm anyone. Hello? Did you go in his room and see this stuff? They are saying that these were in full view. They say we're in full view in his room, the weapons. It wasn't like he hid 23 weapons.
Right.
Some firearms were mounted on the walls, fully accessible. Others spread around the home unsecured. It's crazy. The parents aren't concerned? Oh, let's get another weapon. It's crazy. Some of them, they believe, had no serial number. Some appeared 3D printed. It sounds like the parents have issues, too. This is scary. So you would think, don't you sometimes go, oh, nobody could be that clueless or in denial or just maybe themselves have crazy ideas? Because you'd hope a parent seeing that would be like, I better call somebody. I better get my kid some help. No, instead, they, after hearing all of this, hearing what he's written on weapons, they go, no, he wasn't going to hurt anybody. He's just trying to be cool. God help us, right?
I mean, I understand what you're saying. If they'd come out and said, I really hope this is a misunderstanding, give us a little bit of something.
There's that nothing they could say.
I'm saying just to make us go, you at least are saying this could have been a problem. If they're just saying it's a misunderstanding.
If they saw all this or just not paying attention, they are culpable in a big way here. We need to start having the people who are closest to these people have to do something. If you don't do it, you are liable and they should be charged. It's crazy.
I forget, did you grow up with guns in your home? I think.
No.
No. Okay. I didn't either. But when I married into my wife's family, there were guns in every house.
Sure.
But you know where they were never? They were never mounted on the wall. They were always in the safe.
With school shooting stuff written on them. Anybody out there listening who walks into their kid's room and sees a gun with something like that written on it, who has is obsessed with school shootings, you don't think that's an issue, then there's something wrong with you. You're not a good parent. You're a danger to everybody else.
I mean, in theory, yeah.
Of course, yes. But having a weapon in the home should be secured, first of all, especially with young people. And I don't have a problem with someone having a weapon in their home as long as you secure it.
In this case, they were
hanging on walls. It sounds like someone who's enthralled themselves with weapons. But the fact that they say that there's scribblings on some of them, as has happened in other school shootings, these people are a danger to the community. Because their kid, who again is, 13 years old?
Yeah.
13 years old. Their brains are still mush. They should know, obviously, right from wrong. But when your parents are completely rudderless and allow you this stuff, they're responsible. And they should have a harsh penalty for this as well. They haven't been charged yet. I think they said that is under consideration right now, which I fully expect they will. The prosecutor will ultimately decide whether the parents will be charged with improper storage and safekeeping of firearms or other potential crimes. We need to have another charge. There should be a charge that if there is something in full view that your kid is doing that is a danger to a community, it should be more than just charged with improper storage. It could be like a part of a conspiracy that you wouldn't even care enough to let people know that your kid is a danger. There's got to be a charge better than improper storage.
We've had this conversation and we usually disagree, but like the biggest issue here is people sometimes don't want to see when there's a real issue. They don't want to say my kid is a danger. They want to say, oh, no, that's not what they're doing. Even if it may be pretty clear to others. There's good news out of this story. Very good news. This group identified a problem, called the authorities, and they got in before somebody was killed. That's really good, because sometimes I just wonder how can we stop these before they happen?
How sad is it that people, and it's not even their child, that there are everyday people in a group, and I'm glad that they have them as a watch group, but how is it that strangers who don't live in the home know more than the parents and see the danger more than the parents in the home with the weapons, with the kid, with the writings? Sad. The parents should be charged and there should be a big punishment for this. There should be jail time for this. Other parents should know. If you're going to stand by and be in denial or make excuses, you will be charged in connection as well. I mean, they're at this point more culpable than he is, because he's 13 years old. And he has absolutely nobody watching him who's looking out for his best interest, never mind all of our best interest.
I mean, to answer what you said, how is it possible people on the outside? I think that's the reason, because they're on the outside and they have no connection to this kid. They're looking at, we see this, these signs point to something bad. That's the reason. The parents, again, that's their baby. That's their little boy. You know, he tells us it's nothing. Parents can easily be
fooled. I'm curious
by their
kids. To know, because I do think there are some.
Or they're involved, and we'll find out soon.
There are some who may be completely clueless, and the person hides the weapons, or they might, you know, have a weapon, but they don't know. But this sounds like something that's in full view. This seems different than the kid broke into the safe and got the weapon and we didn't have any knowledge.
Yeah, it clearly doesn't seem like that's the case at all.
It's sad.
But because it was out in the open, did that make the parents think, well, if he was going to hide something, he'd hide it?
I think most rational, reasonable parents, as much as they may love their kid, would notice the danger signs and want to help the child, whether they'd call the cops or just get the guns out of the house or just send the kid to therapy. There's a million other things that a parent can do. But the fact that you allowed 23 weapons along with this kid and the writings and the scribblings and such, it's just mind boggling.
Here's my takeaway from this. At first, when I heard about the story, I thought, well, it's not around here. It could have been so much worse. But now I really want to hear what comes of this and what the parents knew. Were they fooled? Were they oblivious? Were they removed? Were they just busy? Or were they like, oh, he'll be fine? I want to know what they knew.
I don't think this is your average, reasonable, rational parent. I think most would say, I get it, like not wanting to think the worst of your kid, but to be completely oblivious, there's no excuse for
this.
We
can learn something from this, hopefully, as a society. Hopefully.
Well, you know what we learned? We need more people watching social media, because it looks like the parents of a lot of these kids are not responsible and can't do the right thing. And it's sad. Lackawanna College is expanding while other colleges and universities have seen a decline in enrollment. Lackawanna College says it is adding 3 satellite centers in the Lehigh Valley, also Western PA and Southern PA. They've announced they've received approval from the Middle States Commission on Higher Education. So these locations will be in Chambersburg, in Bethlehem, and in Greensburg. And these will all offer an associate degree program in welding and fabrication technology. So this is where the future lies in a lot of these trades, folks, and people can make really good money doing this. They say the one that is located in Bethlehem near the airport there is going to offer associate degree programs in carpentry and construction technology, as well as electrical. And Greensburg will have the electrical technology program fall of next year. There will also be additional degree programs like HVAC for each location in the future. So that's pretty darn cool. They have been very, very successful. And they are seeing more and more people coming into these programs. According to the college president, Jill Murray, there is increasing need across Pennsylvania for highly skilled workers in key trades, including welding, electrical, construction, carpentry. And with the addition of these three satellite centers, we are establishing a strong pipeline of skilled workers right into the communities we serve. So that's a really, really cool thing.
I think it's very cool to see the stigma of some of these jobs.
Yeah,
disappear.
There's no stigma anymore. It's just thinking very much old school.
I went off to community college, got really involved because I got into a car accident. I couldn't leave. So I was really involved. And we had a program at ours, which was for nursing. But that's where it stopped, which was a 2-year program for nursing. Why not other things? It doesn't make any sense why they didn't do that. And I know the reason was, no. We want to be known as the place that gets you somewhere else.
Right.
It's like, how about into the workforce?
Yeah. Well, this is
great.
This is what's happening. The jobs of the future. Unfortunately, as we've seen technology get better, jobs that were traditional jobs have been eliminated. Artificial intelligence is going to do the same. But you're always going to need someone to do the work on the house, whether it's remodeling, electric, any of that kind of stuff. You need a human being to do that. And they're getting really good pay. And it's sometimes not as costly. You're getting an associate's degree. You're talking just a few years as opposed to the longer, you know, degree programs at some of the universities. So
I could be wrong, but I'm guessing you're going to do that and then you're going to get out and probably be in the workforce while you're going to school. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, that's probably how that would work. And that's how some of those nursing programs and things would work back in the day. I know some people, myself included, would be like, wait, are they saying they shouldn't do more with their education? No, this isn't for everybody, but it's definitely for somebody.
These people.
Yeah, these people who have been kind of like brushed to the side as like, oh, well, we can't use you. Find something else.
Right.
This is cool that they're putting a focus on such important stuff.
You know, when my kids were thinking about what to do, I'd be like, hey, what about electrical? What about that? What about plumbing? These are jobs that you're just not going to see a reduction in. You're going to see a need for them more and more. And look, with the lack of a lot of new housing, people need to keep up with their current housing. You know, they'll be doing additions, they'll be doing upgrading. This is one of those jobs that if you're going to get into it, you can have a lucrative future with it.
Absolutely. I've told the story plenty of times, but I had a high school teacher who like mocked me, just like, what, are you going to be a plumber? And it was like the class laughed and it sucked. But looking back, I wish I had said, yeah, I wish I had done it because I'd have a boat. That's what I joke. Right. I'd have a boat now. My home would be, I would own my home at this point. But I didn't. I was kind of shamed into going in different directions. I followed my dreams.
Well, it's a whole different world.
I'm glad that's gone.
And it's been that way for quite some time now.
I love it.
Anyway, they're branching out. So they'll have these additional opportunities for people throughout the Commonwealth, not just here in our backyard. Some concerning stuff going on overseas. Poland scrambled its defenses overnight and shut down 4 airports. They say there were nearly 20 Russian drones that crossed the border, and they're describing it as an unprecedented violation of airspace. Things are getting very concerning. Very concerning. Yeah. The Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk confirmed 19 intrusions into Polish airspace. And they say many of them came from Belarus. 4 drones, they believe, were likely shot down. Now, that operation did end up involving Italian AWACS surveillance planes, Dutch F-35s, Polish F-16s, and NATO-operated refueling aircraft. The Polish military command said, this is an act of aggression that posed a real threat to the safety of our citizens. They have been warning residents in three eastern provinces to stay indoor because the operations continued. It's the first time since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine that NATO planes engage potential hostile targets in allied skies, according to NATO itself. And it looks like Tusk is going to invoke Article 4 of the NATO treaty, and that compels member states to consult when territorial security is threatened. This is it's short of what is Article 5, but it which would trigger collective defense. But it underlines the seriousness of what is going on. And the prime minister said Poland is in a situation closest to armed conflict since the Second World War. Just think about that.
Yeah, this is like accidents can happen, but come on, let's be real here.
There's no indication this was an accident.
No, there's no benefit of the doubt.
This
Russia,
is awful.
Russia doesn't get benefit of the doubt based off of their
dangerous
aggression.
It's dangerous. And honestly, I'm really concerned about this. I think most people would be as well. And most concerned about how our president would respond if this kind of thing continues. Whose side are we on? I think a lot of people would wonder where he would stand on that. It's a real concern what's happening over there. And so stay tuned as we see how that develops, that unfolds. It's just a scary time in the world today. And we used to know where we stand. That's the thing. Most people had an understanding of where we stood in the world and whose side we would be on. And now it feels like you just never know. Meanwhile, Israel strikes Qatar. And the question about, did we know ahead of time or didn't we? We're getting mixed messages as well. And there were supposed to be, remember, the president has put forward this peace plan. They had, Hamas had a negotiating team that was working on whether or not to accept this peace deal, but they had a negotiating team. And Israel decided to attack the leadership in the capital of Qatar, the group that was looking at negotiating some kind of a mediation. So it sounds like Israel doesn't want peace if this is what they would do. And the question is, does our word count? And what did we know ahead of time? Because there were mixed stories about this. Now, Hamas says the strike killed five members, failed to kill the targeted negotiating delegation. But if you were Hamas, and this is not to defend Hamas in any way, but I'm just saying, if you're a group that is being asked to come up with a peace deal and your negotiators are targeted, are you thinking that maybe they're not serious about wanting to come to a deal? And there are obviously family members of Israeli hostages who are very upset because they're afraid that this could lead to the deaths of their loved ones if they are still alive. You know, that's all a question as well. And U.S. President Donald Trump now criticized it, saying that at the time his administration learned of the attack and told the Qataris there was little he could do to stop it. And this attack, the first publicly acknowledged strike on a Gulf state by Israel. The prime minister of Qatar is very, very angry about this. And they say now a senior Hamas official tells CNN no one is talking about a ceasefire. So if there was a hope for peace, you know, attacking and trying to kill the negotiating team, that might kind of put an end to that. After we take a look at this weather, there was a huge political scandal in the 80s. And now two key people from that scandal have tied the knot. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But first, let's check in with Joe Snedeker, meteorologist at Storm Tracker 16 WNEP with a long range forecast.
Hi, folks. Hi, Nancy and Jason. And I'm feeling more distant from those two. It used to be we would talk live every day. We'd go out for drinks. Jason and I, we'd go to the dollar store. We'd buy socks and underwear. Now I never see these guys anymore. But hey, whatever. I'll pick up your underwear. Today it's going to be a nice, partly sunny day. More clouds in the mix at times. Weak coastal storm to the east, but I think we'll stay dry and about 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, whew, lows in the low to mid 50s. And then tomorrow looks like we're back to full sunshine. Going to be awesome right through Friday with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Could it even hit 80 somewhere? If you're making plans for the weekend, I've got a wedding to go to. That's Saturday. Should be a partly sunny day, about 75 degrees. And showers may drop in by Sunday and Monday from a complex, not totally understood yet by the model data system for Sunday and Monday. We'll keep an eye on that. It is subject to change. That's Sunday and Monday, the next chance for some showers. Until then, put a smile on your face. Say it's good to be alive. And Jason, I'll see you at the dollar store. You buy the socks, I'll buy the underwear.
And we dress each other? What are you talking about, man?
Shopping together.
I mean, I don't mind. Dress maybe the easy, but yeah.
There was a huge scandal. Always will be. It was called Iran-Contra. As a child of the 80s, I remember this.
So far, this sounds romantic, doesn't it?
First, they shredded documents together.
Aww.
Now, 40 years later, two key players in the Iran-Contra controversy have been joined by marriage. We are talking Oliver North and his secretary, Fawn Hall. Wow.
If you work at it, love will eventually.
I saw this floating around on social media yesterday, and I thought, is this true? And I guess it has been confirmed. The two tied the knot in a secret civil ceremony in Arlington County, Virginia. He is a retired Marine Corps colonel, who gap tooth smile, as they say. He defiantly testified before Congress about his role in the Arms for Hostages deal. This would have been a big deal. It was a big cover up. He was a member of President Ronald Reagan's National Security Council. Hall was quite the stunner, was she not? I mean, I think the reason she got so much attention was her looks, but she certainly was in those marathon hearings, known for her big hair and her loyalty to her boss. A loyalty described in USA Today's story today, so fierce that she smuggled documents out of the White House inside her skirt and boots to protect him. They defended their actions, including jamming a paper shredder with incriminating documents, as being necessary to secure the release of American hostages being held in Lebanon. Anyway, he was convicted in 1989 on three felony charges helping to arrange the illicit sale of weapons to Iran and divert the proceeds to fund a secret war against anti-communist Contra rebels in Nicaragua. Folks, if you're like too young to know this, you should go look it up because it's really quite the story. Anyway, he had also tried to run for a Senate seat. He became a political commentator. He's older now, folks. He's like 81 years old. Now, his longtime wife died last November, and they had been together for like 56 years. So North is 81. Hall is said to be in her mid-60s. She was married at one time to Danny Sugarman. Danny Sugarman was a manager for the rock band The Doors.
Oh, wow.
And he also wrote, I believe, the book No One Here Comes Out Alive, which was about the band itself. He passed away, though, back in 2007. So the two together, how many years later?
So this was, okay, so I remember the names. I remember, obviously, the controversy, but this wasn't a romantic thing back then.
Well, she had a lot of loyalty to him. We can all make speculations, but we don't know of any that. I think it was just she was younger. She was loyal. She was attractive. Was there anything there? I guess we'll never know. Probably not. I mean, he had a longtime wife, but that doesn't mean anything sometimes in these
stories.
What
are you talking about? People marry for loyalty. Yeah, I saw something.
I don't know.
I don't know if you can trust Wikipedia. They say after the Oliver North trial, Rob Lowe tracked her down and said, let's date. And they dated for a year. That's creepy in and of itself.
Well,
but hey, I hope they end up finding happiness. That's
great. Well, in their later years.
For all these years.
Yeah. Hey, convicted former Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane now has a podcast. It seems everybody has a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, she was the first woman in 2012 and first Democrat elected state attorney general, but had to resign after a jury convicted her in 2016 of leaking secret grand jury information and lying about it to another grand jury. So good going here.
Yeah, I read one of the articles and paraphrased what she said. And this part was interesting to me. The rest of it was like, eh. But she said, like, you look at the pieces of your life, like, scattered across your home, and you're like, how did this happen to me? Like, that story is interesting. Someone who was up here and then didn't.
Well, the fall from grace, right?
Yeah, it's interesting.
The new podcast hosted by Kane is called Through the Hurricane with a capital K.
That's it.
And in it, she is going to I thought maybe it would have to do with law and order or whatever. It has to do with exploring resilience, healing, and finding hope after the storm. And as you said, have you ever looked down, seen the pieces of your life on the floor and wondered what happened?
That's fascinating. But if you are the one who creates the storm, is it as fascinating? I guess if she's going to be really honest.
It's a very niche thing for the people that like totally screw up their lives. I mean, we all might say, oh, I didn't handle XYZ well, but that's not the same as that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
really,
a very small audience of people who totally destroyed their lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think there's something to it. I don't know that it'll get me to listen. Maybe if she brings people in who've had similar stories to discuss, like, what do you do? If she takes ownership to that stuff, that's good. But yeah, I mean, it's
let's just put it this way. A lot of people can do podcasts. OK, you can do a podcast, but it's got to usually have kind of the hook. And what is it about you? And are you an engaging, charismatic person? And she's been kind of off-putting in the past. Like, she's not a gregarious, outgoing kind of person. That's not to say she can't do a podcast. It would be interesting to see how this thing fares. But I'm just curious. I mean, how many episodes are you going to get through when you get through all the things you can do to pick up the pieces of your life? Then what?
I like it. I think there's probably a lot we don't know. The question is, do we care to find out?
Right. That's.
I wish her well, though, because I believe in second or third or whatever chances this is.
There's a few there, but there could be redemption, huh?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's that time of the year. It's getting cooler. We're moving into the fall period, even though Snedeker would say it's meteorological fall. It's not officially fall, but this is the time when you start thinking about, if you so inclined to get it, the flu shots. Okay, flu shots come out, and people like to get it before we get into the holiday season, because once you get in the holiday season, that's where the numbers go up for flu cases. Geisinger is offering drive-through flu shot clinics starting this Saturday. So they will be available for anyone 3 and older, and it's at a number of participating Geisinger locations. For patients 6 months and older, you can also get them at the pediatric locations. So it's called Super Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they say they're going to do this again October 4th and then again on October 18th. So the locations are the clinics throughout the area, Dallas, Oak Street, the HealthPlex Center Point here, Pittston area, Kingston, Mountaintop, Mount Pocono, and Tunkhannock. Also at the community care locations in Hazleton, at the Kistler Clinic, Wilkes-Barre Boulevard, and Mount Pleasant as well. The pediatric locations in Mount Pocono, Scranton, and 44th, and then also Geisinger's 65 Forward locations in Hazleton, Kingston, and Scranton. So this Saturday, that's the Super Saturday drive-through flu clinic, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Okay. You will be asked to provide insurance information, but if you don't have it, you can still get a flu shot. They say most insurance plans will cover it, but no one will be refused a flu shot at the drive-through clinic. So that's going on this Saturday. Just want to give everybody a heads up.
Modern medicine and modern technology with shots is so great. My kids, we like set up a family adventure to get these together. Kids never cry.
Right.
They don't even get nervous. I think I'm more nervous than they are because I had the trauma of having to get shots as a kid when they you would feel like the as it hit your skin.
So no trauma.
The needles are when you were you don't remember that trauma?
I didn't have trauma as a kid. No, I didn't.
You are. I feel like
I had more trauma as a parent if the kids would be upset.
That's a different kind of fear. But like as a kid, like needles were terrifying. I was terrified I'd get appendicitis my whole life because I was afraid not of that, but I have to get a shot to have surgery.
Well, that's so funny.
And now the kids are just like,
most kids
ain't
don't
no
look
thing.
Forward to it. Let's be honest.
My kids are fine because these baby sized needles, it's like.
It's very different.
Done. I love it. Yeah. So if you're someone who's still living that trauma that Nancy didn't have, I'm so jealous of you right now.
I'm not saying that kids like getting shots. I just don't remember it being a big deal.
I remember
for me.
running to the doctor's office That's and trying so to hide like it, and then just going, what's wrong with him?
See, doctors, at least with my kids, they got our pediatrician was really the way they did it. And the nurse really did it was she would be talking to them. And it's a distraction technique.
Right.
You know, she'd come in and she'd be talking and she'd be prepping. And then all of a sudden, while they're answering a question, boom. And they'd be like, they weren't expecting it. They got really good at
those
doing it really fast and being done with it.
The nurses now that do the shots today, they have this. It's like magic. It is the closest thing to magic in a doctor's office. Like sometimes it's just like, and we're done. The kid's like, wait, what?
Yeah. So this,
I remember it differently, though. Again, your kids are 30 years younger than me, right?
Yeah.
78. Anyone else remember like the late 70s, early 80s when they pull
there.
It out and go, don't move. And it was like a psycho. That's how it felt.
I think that, we all have our issues. And that was one of yours. Anyway, this is going on Super Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I told you the locations. You'll find out more. Check it out. They've got it for you online as well. All right. Let's talk about a really, really sad thing that had happened here in Northeast Pennsylvania. Back in March of 2024, the death of Brian Nardella, barber from West Scranton, Loyalty Barbershop. He was a co-founder, very well-known and well-loved, respected member of the community. Totally innocent, driving along on Kaiser Avenue, Scranton, when two other drivers in a road rage situation ended up killing him because one wasn't going to let the other cut him off. You know how that goes.
It was gotta be first, right?
It was the maximum sentence that could be had for these two drivers. They pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter in the death of Brian Nardella, John Darko, and Paul Viscomi. So on sentencing day, Darko got 25 to 60 months. Viscomi got 30 to 60 months. Both received the maximum sentence that they could have gotten. And very sad when you read the statement from his wife. She talked about the love between Brian and I, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of love, one that is rarely found, and you both literally took him away from me in the blink of an eye. And she talked about how their actions robbed her of her life's happiness. And it's, look, the prosecution statement from the DA was, this is not just about punishing two men. It is about sending a message to this community that reckless driving is not a harmless thrill. It destroys lives. It tears families apart. It leaves widows standing alone every day asking why their husband is gone. And that's what this is. That is the maximum. Earlier, we talked about this, and there were a few text messages where people thought it wasn't enough. That was the max that they could have gotten. And I think it is justified, and it should send a message to everyone. Because every day, every single day, now I drive 30 miles to work and 30 miles back. Every day I see somebody driving aggressively. And I'm sure you guys do too. In this case, it was beyond crazy. I mean, they're driving on a speed limit. I think at that point was like 35 miles per hour. And the reconstruction of the crash showed that Viscomi's dash camera footage determined Darko was driving at least 61 miles an hour before the collision. Viscomi accelerated from 20 to 53 to stop him from merging. Why? Jockeying for position with their trucks, according to paperwork. They say the footage captured Darko speeding and attempting to merge in front of Viscomi, who intentionally sped up to prevent him from entering his lane. So Darko gets the nose of his truck past Viscomi and tries to merge. Viscomi speeds up to block him. Darko hits a curb and then Viscomi's vehicle. They lose control, spin out, cross the double yellow lines into oncoming traffic, and there's Nardella's vehicle being hit over a small embankment, rolled onto its roof. Just horrible. And he was doing nothing but going about his business. He did try, they say, Nardella, to maneuver out of the way. He was driving 30 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. It's just horrible. And I'd like to think that hearing about this sentence will stop people from driving like idiots, unfortunately, it's knowing human nature. It doesn't, but if it stops a few of us, then at least something can come of this. Maybe somebody, maybe it does get through to a few people the next time you're driving and you start taking something personally, whether it's personal or not. Maybe you just say, I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to get aggressive. I'm not going to have to do tit for tat. Hopefully.
Yeah, I said
keep people calm.
I said earlier, I'm like, if you sent these guys away for life, that's not going to bring back Brian Nardella. I don't know if it's...
Well, nothing would bring back.
Sure.
But does it send a message?
Maybe. I just am wondering why there aren't ways, if there's proof. It seems like there's clear-cut proof that what they were doing was aggressive driving. It was a road rage situation, and that's why they're going to jail. But it's how many of those instances happen where there's no one injured? It's just maybe they have an accident amongst themselves. That should be what this charge, what this sentence gets you. There should be a way. Someone should put this out there to make an extra sentence if someone gets injured and if someone gets killed because your lack of control is what caused this. I know you didn't intend it, but he didn't. Like, it's insane that that's.
Well, he got. It's involuntary manslaughter is what the charge is. It's like your actions, your reckless actions, caused the death of someone else.
This seems way too short to me.
Right.
It seems like it should be more because you have not one but two people going about.
Well, it was intentional without concern for others.
It seems like it should be a lot more. I don't know. And again, I'm not usually somebody who calls for longer sentences like this. And I concede, yeah, that is the maximum sentence. It just doesn't seem like it's enough, considering how much they were able to prove as to what exactly happened. This isn't speculative. They're like, this is what they did. This is what happened. And this is the result.
All right.
It seems like we need someone to step up and go, I think we can add something to
that. Is this going to change anything? Does it help you to change behavior when you see something like this and you go, oh, like killing somebody else isn't enough, but going to prison might be the thing that does it for you. Someone texted us, Nancy and Jason, good program about the accident, but an idiot between Dunmore and Davis Street almost cut me off today going in between traffic in an orange Mustang like an idiot. So I don't think people have learned. No, they don't. I mean, it's their road. We're just players in their movie. You know, that's what they think. Like, this is my world and you're all just bit players in it. All I try to do is drive as defensively as possible. But when you have a situation like what happened on Kaiser Avenue, where two people in the other lane, you wouldn't even, like, you know, you're looking, driving defensively. I'm watching the person in front of me. I'm watching the person behind me. And then all of a sudden, this car comes flying at me. It's just, it's horrific. It really is. And it's such a sad story and such a loss to the community. The Pocono native who pled guilty in the horrific murder of four University of Idaho students. Still more stories coming out. And I think the important thing to know about these cases when we talk about someone who is a mass killer here, right? And we talked earlier, if you go back on the rewind to the show last hour, we talked about how police arrested a 13-year-old. Other citizens who are watching, doing a crime watch and looking online, found real concerning stuff about that 13-year-old. The reason I think these stories are important, even though this one, you know, happened after four people were killed, is you want to say, what could we have done or what could have been done that might have been able to stop someone from being able to kill people? And there are two college students who say they were stalked by this suspect. Now, this all happened before the murders. And they said that they were being spied on in their home. These were undergraduate students. And they knew who he was. They knew who he was. And they told police. Two female college students told officers with the Idaho State Police that Koberger would make daily visits to see them at work. Then they started getting unexpected visits at their homes. This is where things go too far, right? It's bad enough if someone, you know, look, you, I'm sure people who work in any kind of customer service, think coffee shop, waitress, whatever. I used to waitress as well. You might get people who pop in and they kind of like to talk to you. You know,
the regulars.
Yeah, but there's always you may have someone, if you've worked in it, there may be someone that you kind of go, ugh.
They're not so regulars.
Gets me. It could be creepy.
Creepy. Creepers, yes.
When you get it then to an extent where someone is on your porch or at your home, that's when the flags certainly go up. The first woman was an employee at the school's bookstore. And she said that August or September of 2022, so we're talking just a month or two before the murders, she said she was home alone one night, changing in her room. Someone knocked on her window. She called her husband and the person ran off. Then she said it happened again. She had started working when she heard someone moving around on her porch. After she had started working, she heard someone moving around on her porch around 7 in the evening. Her husband came home again and saw the white car leaving the area. And he drove a white Hyundai Elantra. It also looks like he researched her. She said he knew personal details about her. She never volunteered to him. He once came in and asked for her by name, adding she was certain she never told him her name and she does not wear a name tag. He even knew what hours she worked and made remarks about her hours. That's really creepy behavior. The other student, allegedly stalked by him, worked in the criminology department, but was an undergraduate. She said he kept making advances on her, so she told him she was a lesbian, but it didn't stop him from constantly seeking her out. Almost daily, she said. And the report also said she was told she was not the first person to have problems with him. She said she was working late and saw him walking outside as she was locking up. He made eye contact with her when she locked out. It seems strange because you would have to be looking directly at the window where she worked to make eye contact. She told police she had been getting ready to lock up and eventually ran and hid in a bathroom to avoid him when she saw him entering the building. Then one day she got a call from a neighbor who said they saw someone very close outside her window and to make sure to lock the door. And then she learned that she lived fairly close to him. There's more. A fellow classmate recalled an incident where she felt someone outside her window. I mean, if people are all talking about this stalking, creepy behavior, what could be done?
It's a great question. What can be done at that point without doing anything?
Without actually having him being there when the cops get there. You could say, well, this guy's creeping on me, and then I see there's a white car. Could it be him? Because you don't see him. You just hear something. Another classmate heard someone trying to open the door to their home near the times of all this. And all this was happening in the months prior to the murders. It's really scary stuff. And you got to take this stuff seriously. When someone knows a lot about you, you don't tell them anything. They're following you around. They're making eye contact. They're coming by.
I think it's never been easier to get information. If you're searching for information, you can find it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's as easy going, hey, what's the girl? Who is it? She works here.
It's awful. And people don't give people information. By the way, there's also, quickly just to mention before the break here, yeah. He also posed in shirtless pictures with a wound on his hand. And he did these disturbing selfies after the murder of the students. So that's real creepy stuff. And the DNA evidence they had was not trace DNA. I know that we've heard that before the trial. The genealogists working on it say there was a lot of DNA that he left at the scene. So he was going to be found out, in addition to the fact they knew the vehicle that they were looking for. Looking at a story here about Cracker Barrel suspends modern restaurant renovations after the whole logo flap. The chain on Tuesday saying you don't need to worry. The vintage Americana you love will always be here. So I don't know, like they decided to bring it up again because we do know that they had said, well, we're going to stop. And that was like a while ago.
I know why, too, because I was looking into this and trying to like break it down like I'm a statistician or something. Okay, so they announced the logo change originally on August 19th, and the stock was like $59. Mm-hmm. August 27th is when they pulled back, and it was up to 62, so it kind of jumped up, and people were like, yeah, we won. Since then, it's got dropped from 62 to yesterday, it closed at 50. Mm-hmm. So the stock is down again. I guess they looked at this and thought, we got to do something to get everyone talking about us again, because that whatever we did, whether it was by accident or this was the plan just to announce a change people would be pissed about, they got to do something to get people talking about them. Do you know what the uproar was over? The logo, right?
Yeah.
But then there was also this, and they're going to change out every restaurant.
Right.
They have 660 locations. Do you know how many of them had been testing this modern remodel that everyone
said? How many out of that?
Four.
Okay.
That happens a lot with chains. They try something new and it fails. So this big announcement is like, oh, by the way, they actually said, you shared your voices in recent weeks, not just our logo, but also about our restaurants, and we're continuing to listen. Today, we're suspending our remodels. If your restaurant hasn't been remodeled, you don't need to worry. It won't be.
Right.
They basically said,
issues before that. Why did they start to do the change? They said that, from what I understood, I thought they saw some of a drop off and they thought they needed to rebrand. And they made a mistake, obviously, because but the question is, again, a lot of attention comes. I'm curious to know how many of the people, because we heard when this first came out and we talked about it, I had people that were texting us and said, well, I don't agree with it, but I go for the food. I love the food, the food. But I wonder how many people who were big fans stopped, because if that were the case, and, you know, Donald Trump had said, you got to go back, and they went back, you would think those people would be like, yeah, they listened. I'm going to go back. How many of them really were going? I think sometimes some of the people, it's interesting to me, who get the most vocal about things. If you go, but did you go there? Well, not really. It's like,
oh, I had a similar experience where I threw that out there and I said, you know, when they announced the change, and I was like, I forget where I put it, but it was a post to people. And I said, look, if you feel like this is a big victory for what you believe in, you know, what do you think happens now? Do you go? And they were like, nope, you go woke, go broke, too late. And I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. So regardless of what happened, you were against them. The big question is, did you ever go in the first place?
Were you even going or did you just want to get mad about something?
Yeah, some people just need to admit they like to get angry about stuff, but they don't want any sort of kind of commitment to follow through to say, you know what? Thank you for listening to my complaint.
Right.
Screw you. It's just, no, screw you, screw you. That's all it is.
So they've made their changes, folks, and they want you to know that because maybe they feel like in the whole, you know, craziness over it that enough people didn't know that they stopped. And who is it? It's Uncle Herschel, right? Uncle Herschel.
Yeah, who is related to, I guess, the founder. I guess it was his uncle, Herschel. If you view their success based off of this stock market lens, if you go back a year, so 1 year ago, it was at $50. Mm-hmm. Yesterday it closed at, hang on, I think I clicked it wrong. Oh, sorry, last year it closed at $36.38. Mm-hmm. Yesterday it closed at $50. So they're still doing incredibly better than they were,
right?
But they've had dips. It's probably like anything else. During the summer, they probably slow down. Like restaurants are never easy.
I don't know. You think they'd get busier in the summer because people are traveling. And I know a lot of people that when they travel will stop at
these
places.
Hang on. Early spring or late fall, early spring is when it looks like things have dipped off. So, yeah, I mean, there's different ups and downs in these industries.
We'll see. Obviously, they felt like they needed to remind people.
I wonder what the truth is, though. Did they? Was this a real plan or did they just go, people are going to hate this, but it'll get people talking?
Right.
That would be genius. Will we ever find out the truth? I don't know.
Yeah. I want to make mention of a doctor's group and their recommendation because there is so much information out there. Some of it is misinformation. If you're someone who looks to doctors to help you make decisions, I think it's important. I'm going to bring you the information. You do with it what you wish, but there are a number of medical, you know, physician groups that say that they are going to make their recommendations and it may be contrary to what the federal government is telling people. And they feel it's important that you know where they stand. So the American Academy of Family Physicians is recommending that adults 18 and older, children and pregnant women receive COVID-19 vaccines. The quote from the chief medical officer of the AAFP, again, American Academy of Family Physicians, says, history shows us that vaccines have eradicated diseases that were disabling and deadly in the past, and we can keep it that way if we continue to vaccinate. Protecting public health is our collective responsibility. This fall and always, the AAFP stands with our members and public health partners to promote vaccine confidence and uptake. So we do know that back in August, the FDA approved updated COVID vaccines, but only for Americans 65 and older and those with underlying health conditions. Before that, it was recommended for anyone 6 months and older to get the shot. So the AAFP, the latest physician group to issue vaccine recommendations that contradict the changed federal policy. We also know the American Academy of Pediatrics did that as well. They recommend COVID-19 vaccines for kids 6 to 23 months old and older children in some risk groups. So you want to talk to your pediatrician about which older kids would be considered risked. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology issued vaccine recommendations for pregnant people after the FDA narrowed its approval. They say that people should receive an updated COVID-19 vaccine, also called a booster shot, before, during, and after pregnancy or when lactating. And they talk about why it's important for that group as well. So those are the groups and what they are saying is best for you, the people that we entrust with our health and our care. So you do with that what you wish and always talk to your doctor.
We got Joe Snedeker here with the full extended forecast.
Take a look at the long range forecast for Northeast PA.
Hi, folks. Hi, Nancy and Jason. And I'm feeling more distant from those two. It used to be we would talk live every day. We'd go out for drinks. Jason and I, we'd go to the dollar store, we'd buy socks and underwear. Now I never see these guys anymore. But hey, whatever, I'll pick up your underwear. Today it's going to be a nice partly sunny day. More clouds in the mix at times. Weak coastal storm to the east, but I think we'll stay dry and about 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, whew, lows in the low to mid 50s. And then tomorrow looks like we're back to full sunshine. Going to be awesome right through Friday with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Could it even hit 80 somewhere? If you're making plans for the weekend, I've got a wedding to go to. That's Saturday. Should be a partly sunny day, about 75 degrees. And showers may drop in by Sunday and Monday from a complex, not totally understood yet by the model data system for Sunday and Monday. We'll keep an eye on that. It is subject to change. That's Sunday and Monday, the next chance for some showers. Until then, put a smile on your face. Say it's good to be alive. And Jason, I'll see you at the dollar store. You buy the socks, I'll buy the underwear.
Just one question. Which one? Wait, is he gone? I never know which store to meet him at. It's ridiculous, Joe.
Mm.
He's trolling me, I think.
Okay.
I'll try something in Luzerne County today.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I need underwear and socks.
Somebody asked, did we give away the TSO tickets? Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we did today. But we have more to give away. And that's coming up tomorrow. Another chance for you to win on the show. We would love to let you win those tickets. It's November the 22nd, by the way. That is the Saturday prior to Thanksgiving week. So it'll put you in that full holiday spirit. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You can get your tickets Friday, September 12th at 10 a.m. But you can find more info at WILKNewsRadio.com. All right, Bob, are you done? Or what are you doing?
Hi, I'm Bob Cordaro.
Trying to sit down.
I'm in the quiet room here.
I'm going to come in your show and just sit. Stare at you.
More than welcome.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do that. It hurt my ears.
Your volume's so high, so you don't hear all this extra stuff.
Mm-mm.
It's a strategy, right? It's got to be.
All right. So anyway, in the news, we talked about a number of things. If you use the Odyssey Rewind feature, that's if you go on Odyssey.com, you can hear more. We talked about the etiquette of catching a home run ball explained, because that's important for y'all to know. I told you now, since these cameras are everywhere, you had the Coldplay cam. You've got the cameras for these baseball teams. And now we've seen people acting like idiots. Now we had the tennis one, right? That was the one where the guy took the hat from the kid. You had the woman with the ball.
There's thousands of these.
If I'm in any stadium and a ball or something that other people want is coming towards me, I am running the opposite way.
You should do that while screaming, I don't want that! Just make
please,
it clear.
Nobody, I don't want anything I do may be dissected and it may go viral. So
Nancy would have gone after that ball.
No, I would not have gone after that ball.
How dare you?
I definitely wouldn't have run to the other section. That was like, but here's the thing, possession is important, as we heard from the legal expert who said she may have touched the ball, but she did not have it in her possession. And one of the rules that we also found is if you are there at a game and a ball is hit and you catch it, you need to give it to a kid around you. Just give it to the kid. Whichever kid is closest. Now, I know the rules would be different if the ball that you catch is one that is like record breaking and you could get $1 million, then things could get really ugly.
I think that give to a kid thing is great in theory till someone analyzes the video and goes, watch how this racist gives it. It's like, come on.
Because
he gave it to one kid.
Do you give it to the 4-year-old or do you give it to the 10-year-old?
Yeah, it's a conversation I don't want to get into.
Yeah, see, well, that's why I said,
think about whose kid was getting it. I just wanted to do something nice for a child.
Back to rule number one. Rule number one is run away from it. Just run away. You don't want to be anywhere near it. You don't want to all of a sudden be front and center. I mean, she was an idiot because she didn't, you know, she could be mad all she wants that he came into her section, but she walked over and wanted that ball back.
I saw somebody defend it and go, I don't know why, like, these people, or they were trying to say it's no big deal, and someone defended it. They go, it's like a $3 baseball. And someone goes, those are $20 a piece. I was like, I don't think you're really.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Just don't act like such an idiot.
Out about her?
Nothing real, Bob. She may not be real. I've seen nothing real.
She exists. We're finding out.
Well, do we need to know anything else?
Was she getting it for her own child?
Who knows?
Yeah,
we don't know. But she was a jerk. She was a jerk.
Because
she
walked.
What would be defensible about that?
If she's getting it for her own kid.
No, it's not defensible because what? Her kid wasn't there. There was no kid there with her.
I don't know.
She was going to get it for the kid at home.
I haven't seen real news on this because there's so much fake stuff out there. But my favorite fake one was somebody made her look like Gollum and she's holding the baseball going, my precious. Like, that at least is funny. It would make sense as to why she cared so much.
Oh, my gosh. She cared a lot. There's some has-beens in the birthday list today. Guy Ritchie. Isn't he married once to
No, he's still successful.
Madonna.
Oh, Guy Ritchie, the director? Guy Ritchie, who am I thinking about?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think he's
some
still
other
stuff.
Guy.
I'm thinking of Guy Pearce, the actor. John. Guy Pearce, he's still does
some
stuff.
Other guy. That's what you're thinking.
You're kidding
about.
Me. Johnny Lucas, I love you, man, but I will tackle you if you do that again. That's horrible. You're giving that a rim shot? Really?
It's funny. It's so simple, it's funny.
She's paying you, isn't she? I think that's got to be it.
All right.
That's
so
got to be it.
I think that's he's a director, but I think he was most known for being
Guy
married.
Ritchie. That's his birthday.
Madonna's husband.
The ex, one of the exes. He's,
Mr. Madonna.
He's got to be 62.
He's 57.
Ooh, actually, he was really
Jose Feliciano, singer, songwriter, guitarist, still with us.
Yes. Feliz Navidad, right?
95. I believe so, yes.
Yeah, he's up there. He's like 93.
He is 80. You made him a lot older. Mm. Amy Irving. Was she ever married to Steven Spielberg? Or
yeah, I believe
that
that's
confused?
Who that was.
All right. We remember who they... She's an actress in her own right as well.
Yeah, a little overshadowed by him, but that could be a sexism thing. Maybe she has her own resume that's equally as spectacular. No? She's 67.
She's 72.
Ooh, so close.
Actor Ryan Phillippe.
Felipe.
How do you know him as being married to?
It was with Reese Witherspoon.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
The stupid things I remember.
See?
Felipe.
Felipe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Ryan Felipe. He's 52.
He is 51.
Okay.
Got one more for you. Colin Firth.
Now he does the Paddington Bear movies. He's made it.
Pride and Prejudice, Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah. He's.
he was in Love Actually, too.
He's done it a lot. He's kind of like,
really
like if Hugh Grant was a little heavier. That's all I like.
That's how you
remember
look
him.
At
it's
it.
Not Hugh Grant.
Right.
He's 63.
He is 65, so you finish it on a win. How about that?
I can go home and not cry all day. That's
if
good.
It's your birthday today. Happy birthday. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. All right. Just want to mention today is World Suicide Prevention Day. We have a show tonight talking about mental illness, anxiety, depression, all those things. It's called I'm Listening. It's hosted by Carson Daly. They talk to a number of people, well-known people, about their own struggles and resources and help. I'mListening.org. You can get more information, but listen tonight here on WILK. It's at 6 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.